Healing, in all reality, is an act of relational love for the human person. God doesn't owe us healing. He may choose to heal us, but He doesn't owe us healing. But He does so in an effort to liberate the human heart. So I want you to understand that we have to dispose our hearts, our lives, our bodies to be healed. That is the spiritual life. That is regular confession. That is sacrifice. And so, in this time, I'm going to spend a few minutes praying with you guys. If there's other priests here, they may come out and pray with us. But I want to remind you that all of us need healing of our senses, of our eyes, our ears, our hands, because we get so weighed down by sinfulness, so weighed down by the brokenness that cripples us as men. It's entirely possible that the wounds that exist in our lives have a bigger effect on us because we're afraid to speak. We're afraid to address things. Who am I? I can't speak. I have this struggle in my heart. I can't address this with my friend or my spouse or my pastor. I don't know how. I'm a weak man. But here's something that I want to tell you. The weak man who is fighting speaks to the truth in a situation. The weak man who is fighting, who is struggling, can penetrate even though he's a Saint Peter, even though he's struggling. So I want to put the in the context for you guys is we need this conversion in the church at this time. But it has to be so that grace can flow through you into the body of Christ. It is where we are as a church. I couldn't imagine being a married man and my wife in the hospital in terrible condition and my daughter in ICU and then saying, "Good night, honey. I'm going home. It's closing time. It's 9 o'clock. I'm tired. See you tomorrow, sweetheart. Remember, I love you." You'd be like, "Where are you going? Your wife's in the hospital." "I know. She knows I love her." Look, isn't it time that we're just tired of words? Isn't it time now that the men of the church begin to really go deeper into something more powerful, that what God is asking of them is that grace of conversion? So I'm going to go down the things I'm going to challenge you with. First, single or married, don't objectify women in your life. Don't objectify them. And if you are, don't get mad at the priests who have objectified the bride. Don't use the church, and don't use your bride like you're climbing a ladder. That's what the other guys did. You understand? Yeah? The guy that objectifies his wife is the career priest that just climbs Mother Church. And it's the same thing. So what happens is we say, well, then the cycle of sin in my vocation becomes the cycle of sin in the married or single guy's vocation. It's the same thing. Secondly, I get that all of us have an accountability, not for the same wounds. My God, now is the time to pray and fast. Now is the time to be heroic. Don't ask the church to heal itself if you're not part of the medicine. And I know 65 and above, you don't have to fast. Well, there's things that every single guy in this church can do. Every single one of you. And I want you to talk about it with your spouse if you're married. Hey, honey, you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about entering the trench with my priests. Keep the cookies, guys, and don't have a cookout. And get really in the trench. Say to your wife, hey, sweetheart, I'm gonna take a cold shower for a month for Mother Church. Ready? I want to sleep on the floor for my spouse. Like, do something that demonstrates a sacrificial nature on your part. Tell your wife, get there. Get there. Because it heals the wounds that are affecting the sensuality of the church. I need you to get there. Because the real man is willing to give everything. Look, ready? I highly doubt St. Joseph slept in the rack with Mary. Get there. He did it to protect her as he stood guard, or let her have the little hay bed with the little newborn savior of the world. And that guy hit the rack on the floor. What's wrong with that? Nothing. It contradicts. That's how we will heal the church, because we will attack the wound with that grace of prayer and fasting. This is the answer. That's where we are, guys. For those of you married, I'm sure your wife won't miss you for a couple of weeks. She'll probably send me a thank you note. But haven't we lost the masculine courage of the priest to lay down his life? Yes. Yeah. I want to bring you to a place that you understand that the strength of the shepherd is found in the inner conviction of his heart. You will have the greatest freedom, guys, when you get to that place of prayer and fasting. We have to understand that then the miracles start happening. Then the grace comes into the body of Christ. So what's the point? That there's so much healing that needs to take place. And the Holy Spirit is moving through the body of Christ and through the church. There has to be the willing sacrifice of men. I was dwelling on Adam and his accusatory statement. Oh, the woman. It's the woman's fault. Right? It's all her fault. What are we talking about? It's our fault. I'm not talking about the abuse. I'm talking about the fact that we have got to bring the grace and healing to the church, to the culture, so that you and I can say, yes, Lord, when I stand before the Lord at the end of my life, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. How many of you can say that God is going to say that to you? Is he going to really say, you gave everything? Is he going to really say, you responded to the graces I gave you? This awakening of all of this pain is exactly where we are. That's what we need, guys. Thanks, brother. So I'm going to read this passage from Scripture and then remind you of the love. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. The second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what death he was going to glorify God. And after he said this, he said, follow me. Whenever I've read that gospel, I've always stopped after the third question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? I never go to the part, truly I say to you, when you were young. I just never wanted to. I think Christ stands before all of us and says, do you really love me? Do you love me more than the comfort of your bed? Do you love me more than the hot shower? Do you love me more than the snacks? Do you love me more than the drinks or the computer? Do you love me more than those? Like, let's just start there. Do you love me more than those? Because when a priest betrays his bride, the answer is no. I don't love you more than those. I love those more. I love myself more than you. I think all I can offer you tonight is simply just the confidence that Christ is with us, that he's guiding us. In a moment, Josh is going to sing a song. We're going to pray over you. Prepare your hearts, fellas. Jesus asks every one of us, do you love me more than these? We're in a serious crisis because countless people said, no, Lord, I don't love you more than these. That's why the bride is suffering.